Hello! My name is Allie, and welcome to Funny Fat Friend, a podcast about this bodacious biracial babe trying to find herself in film. Here's an update. We have been protesting here in Louisville for 218 days for justice. You can find the link to the wish list of supplies we are in need of here for protesters, and if you can give to the Louisville Bail Fund, please do. And even though the presidential election is over, there is still a very important runoff happening at the beginning of January, which is next week, if you are listening to this on time. And if you are able to, please volunteer and give. I'll link to Fair Fight in the description as per usual. It's Harry Potter time! Ow! Matilda! Matilda bit me. That was funnier. Alright, cool. We did it. We made it. We made it to the end. And I am the first person to say I did not think I was going to do it. Today, there is a very deeply special guest with me, because as you can already tell from the description of the video, or it's not a video. We usually make videos.
Oh man. Matilda, stop. Oh my god.
She is wilding out. She's so upset. She needs more attention than possible. Yeah, there's a special guest on the pod with me today for this final episode of the entire year of the series. What a gift. It is my roommate, Sarah!
Hi! It's me.
Yay! Oh, man. Sarah!
Yes?
What is your experience with the Harry Potter series?
Well, my experience with the Harry Potter series has been that I was not allowed to read the books nor watch the movies as a child because witchcraft. Even though I could watch LOTR, but it's fine. So I watched, the first time I watched any of the Harry Potter movies was actually in high school. My friend Diane, we watched them. We watched like all of them over the course of I think like a couple days. And then the day that Deathly Hallows Part 2 came out, I watched like Part 1. And then we went to the theater and watched it there. And I did not tell my mom what we were watching.
Nice.
And then a couple years ago, I actually read through all the books. And since then have, like, watched through the movies a couple times. One of which being last year during Halloween. I watched all of them, like, straight through. I watched a couple on, like, I think it was, like, a Thursday night or something. And then I finished the rest of them, like, that whole day on Friday. And it was exhausting. I would not recommend it. Like, my brain was just, like, falling apart. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely understand. These are so... the only word I can think of is emotionally traumatizing, but I know that's not it. It's emotionally taxing.
Yeah, it's so draining.
Yeah. I couldn't do that long. So yeah. Long.
It was a lot.
Ooh. Yeah. But you survived.
I did. Somehow.
Yeah. I haven't watched I remember I watched, I think, the whole second part with you during your marathon. I feel like I watched part of... No, I know I left before the end of part one because I remembered what happened. And then I wouldn't want to watch part two if I watched the end of part one.
Yeah.
Which happened again, loyal listeners, in the last one.
Got scarred all over again. It is pretty awful.
It's so awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember you guys coming in for, like, part two and, like, watched it with me. And you really all were like, how'd you even do this? Like, we're done after, like, one movie.
One movie was too much.
Like, I don't know.
Power of will is an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, phenomenal. So, we did it. We made it. Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Part 2. This movie came out in 2011, which is the year I graduated from high school. And I remember I also watched part one right before I went and saw part two. I think I had talked about that in the last one with my best friend. Yeah. And I didn't want to go after I watched part
two. Fucking fair.
Or part one. And I was like, well, I don't want to go anymore. And she was so mad at me. But I still went. And I do. I really hope that I find a photo of us from that night because I, like, dressed up. Yeah. Also, I hadn't seen most of them. So, like, my outfit is literally, I, like, had a yellow tank top and used a Sharpie to draw the Hufflepuff crest on it. And there's, like, that's a amazing milk stain on it. And
oh, man. How have you never, like, told me about this? You never showed me this picture?
I don't know. I gotta find it. But she dressed up as Bellatrix Lestrange and looked incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my other friend dressed up like Draco, looked just like Draco. And but it's me in between the two of them, like, cheesing my face off. Like, mouth agape, big smile. I look the part, you know? Yeah. I look like a goofy ass. And I am a Hufflepuff through and through, without doubt. I'm like head girl of Hufflepuff. A bumbling dummy walking around, happy to be there. You know? That would be me at Hogwarts.
But a delight nonetheless.
Do you prescribe to the whole house situation? Did you do the Pottermore quiz
thing? I did the Pottermore quiz. They put me in Gryffindor, so.
That adds up.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems right.
Yeah. Maybe. I agree with you. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You're very much like a Hermione to me. Like the only bad bitch around. Oh my God. Honestly. Like, well, Luna is my favorite, but.
Yeah. Luna is pretty great. Yeah. She's a queen.
She's the best of all time. But I love Hermione is one of my favorite things about this whole series.
Yeah. She is. She is like. And watching part two again is like the. Like, Ron and Harry are always like, thanks, Hermione. Good thinking, or whatever. Like, every time she literally saves their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus Christ, can you guys think of, like, anything, any spell to save you?
Why would they? They have Hermione around.
But, you know.
Sometimes it'd be like that. Yeah. Sweet. So this one's just like the last one. It had $250 million budget that it shared with part one, which also, I talked about that in the last one, that blew my mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Not that much money.
No, for 6 hours of film.
Yeah.
That we ultimately are, like, left with.
Yeah, and for all the, just, like, I don't know, just all the special effects and, like, the gravity of, like, everything that they did in that film.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I can only imagine that they were able to pull it off for that little because of how much clout Harry Potter had at that point, right? That everybody working on it or who gave like technology to it knew that it was gonna be a fucking blowout this last one, right? So that they were like, nah, write it off, it's a tax write off, you know, like, technically you don't have to use my name on it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't, yeah, because I think the last few movies the credits alone are like the longest and they're both like 15 minutes, like, out of the 3 hour films. 15 minutes.
Shit.
It's like, that's like a significant chunk.
Yeah.
So, but that's it. All right, cool. All right, we're going to just talk about it because we're doing it. Here we go. Talking about the movie. I enjoyed it started with the final scene of part one. That it didn't do a weird recap. The opening scene of part two is just the last scene of part one. And then we see Hogwarts, and it's surrounded by Dementors. It's like this, it feels like we are in slow motion. That's what it felt like for me. Of like, but I know it's because, like, the Dementors move slow and stuff. That they're, like, hovering in air, and we're, like, moving through this, like, dark place. All these different shots. And we see Snape, and he's overlooking the students entering and just, like, looking despondent and sad as per Snape. And then we get the title and, like, very sad music. So this is, like, a very hard change from, like, the beginning and then title sequence from every other Harry Potter. Which I guess makes sense because it's the continuation of the story, like, of the book. No, I thought it was a neat idea. It's just very different the way they did it.
Yeah.
And then, god damn. We see Dobby's grave.
Yeah, that was... Gets every time.
Unacceptable. Literally so unacceptable is Dobby's death. What was it for? I guess maybe that's the point, right? This meaningless death.
Yeah, and, like, I think it's just another part of, like, so many people dying for Harry and, like, his adds to, like, his guilt.
Yeah.
That, like, everyone's dying for me and, like, what is that even for? Like,
that does make sense.
You know? Like, I don't know. It's just, like, adds to, like, the pressure of his life and what he has to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Just meant to kick you in the gut.
Literally, like, yeah. It's like, just in case you forgot, this fucking was the worst.
And I think it, like, also just adds to, like, the evil of, like, Voldemort and his, like, people and stuff, mm-hmm. too.
Is, yeah, like, the senseless
the
stuff.
The fucked up shit that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was so wild of her to, like, Bellatrix to throw her fucking knife just into, like...
Yeah, just, like, I hope I just kill one of them. I don't care which one. Doesn't matter.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really scary. And also, fuck you, JK. Yeah. Fuck you. Let's get that from the top.
You know, what's fun is that, you know, Harry Potter, the books just, like, appeared.
You know? Yeah.
There was no one wrote them. They were just, it was like, you know, the Bible and somebody.
I love that.
Oh, God. I do. I love that meme.
It's like,
that's so incredible that the books just here, appeared.
And we all just got to read them. Yeah. And there isn't any senseless death for character development of a boring white boy. So, yeah. Right. Phenomenal. Okay, cool. After burying Dobby, Harry Potter asked the goblin Griffhook, who also came with them when they were transported. Dobby apparated them out of the cellar dungeon thing at the Malfoy Manor. He works at, you know, that place, the bank, which is
the
later.
Gringotts.
Gringotts. There we go. Thank you so much. He's a goblin from Gringotts. And he talks to Griffhook, and it's like, yo, do you remember that you showed me my vault for the first time? And I was like, is this significant? Was it? I didn't think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I remember. Or he's like, do you remember me? And then he was just like, I remember you the first time I showed you your vault.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe because there was, like, mountains of gold in there.
Maybe.
And he was, like, 11.
Okay.
Fuck, I'm rich as hell.
Yeah. And it could be like a, I don't know. I don't think he's not smart enough, it seems, this character to do this. But to, like, be, like, persuading of, like, you know how much money I have.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm about to ask you for something. But I don't think he's
don't
that
know.
Smart, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's that smart.
I don't know
smart.
Why he even said that.
But that would have been clever, but...
Maybe he's just trying to relate to him? I don't know.
I don't know either. But then he asked him to help them break into Bellatrix Lestrange's vault at Gringotts. And Griffhook reveals that there's a replica of the Gryffindor sword in the vault placed there by Snape. Because that was why Bellatrix was so mad or whatever with Hermione. It was torturing her. It was because she saw that they had the Gryffindor sword. And she's like, no, I have that. How the fuck did you break in? So we get that reveal of, like, oh, Snape the fake one in there. So maybe he's not completely evil, or we're just confused because that's the bag here. This is like, just to be confused.
Just confused for most of it.
Yep. Alright. Ultimately, Griffhook agrees to help them in exchange for the Sword of Gryffindor, which I don't know why he wants it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember if there was anything in the book about that.
Yeah, it just seemed very weird that he was like, well, I'll do it for that.
I mean, I think that, like, the goblins, like, the thing about the goblins is that they are so greedy. So, like, it could just be that he wanted
something.
This is something.
The most valuable thing you have,
yeah,
and I want it.
And he, like, knows that.
Okay. That makes sense. Alright, cool. So they agree to his terms because they believe a Horcrux is in Bellatrix's vault. Which makes sense. She is Baldi's number one.
Yeah, she is. She's Baldi's number one now.
She is. Then Harry goes and talks to Ollivander, who tells him that two wands they took from Malfoy Manor belong to Bellatrix and Draco, but that Draco's wand has changed its allegiance to Harry. So that's when we learn the very important fact that didn't make any sense in the moment, but was important later, which is fucking the way to go, I guess, of these dumb, blatant facts being yelled at you that you need to know, that you need to remember. It's going to be important later. We learn that if a wizard disarms another wizard, that wand then becomes
changes
theirs.
Allegiance, yeah.
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 Wow. So important and neat. So then he asks Ollivander if he told Voldemort about the super powerful Elder Wand. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just said rumors. Playing and he's like, dumb. Motherfucker, we have the same brain. I saw you do it.
Yeah, it's pretty bold of Ollivander. Just
yeah,
going,
it's
I
like,
know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what did you have to lose this motherfucker? Yeah, your shop is burned to the ground.
You're about to die.
You like,
yeah.
Just be honest. But no. So then he's like, nah. And also, Voldemort has it. Voldemort got the wand because you told him what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I like that how he said they just, like, cut him. He was like, bitch, I know that you told him about it and now he has it already. So
yeah, so.
Don't be playing.
So then he's like, all right, well, if you're telling me that is true, Ollivander is like, well, you don't stand a chance against him.
Yeah.
And rude. Harry says, I guess I'll just have to kill him before he finds me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he knows where you are, right? Like, they have that brain link.
Yeah. He can, like, Harry can, like, block him out, but Harry's not very good at it.
No.
He usually can't. Do it.
Yeah. And ultimately, I guess we know that Voldemort, the end game isn't for him to murder Harry Potter. He's doing all kinds of other shit.
Yeah.
So Harry is just lucky that he's doing all kinds of other shit he has to do. And it's not that he needs to find him. It's just that I'm a little lower on the priority list at this point.
Yeah.
I need to capitalize on my time.
Yeah, and Voldemort is, like, confident as fuck, so he's like, I'll get to him eventually. Like,
yeah.
It's gonna happen.
That's true. Alright, then, Hermione uses Polyjuice Potion to transform into Bellatrix, and they head to Gringotts with Ron in disguise, just in a bad beard.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of forgot about that, and I laughed so hard, I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, why?
I was like, he looks like Ron, yeah, he just has a dumb beard that doesn't match his hair.
On. It's like, why did he have to be there? It's like, just stand outside. You didn't need to come.
Know.
I don't
know.
But whatever. Okay. So yeah. Ron is wearing a bad beard. And Harry and Griffhook are under the cloak of invisibility. Yes.
I was going to say, I also like was confused as to why when you take like the Polyjuice potion, why your voice doesn't change.
Girls,
because you were talking about like the vocal cord stuff. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And she also tried 0% to sound like Bellatrix.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, I'm nervous, Hermione.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It was, like, stressful, but I was like, bitch, have you ever done an impression of anyone? Like,
oh,
just
yeah.
Just do your best.
100%. Like, and it's not like, yeah, she has, like, an iconic voice. Helena Bonham Carter is, and I'm like, I don't think of, I can't be, like, in my mind, hear Helena Bonham Carter's voice.
Yeah.
It's just a British woman.
Yeah. Just like lower your tone
a
little
just
bit.
A little,
just, there you go.
Yeah, just a more mature woman.
Yeah.
Do that. You would have been fine.
Just don't sound like a 17-year-old
so
girl.
So weird. Yeah, it was so high pitch. It was so uncomfortable. Okay, but.
Anyway.
And also, why couldn't Ron just get under the cloak with them?
Yeah, I don't know.
The cloak seems to have
ample room.
Yeah. Every time they've ever used the cloak, it's big as fuck. And I'm like. It's a magical item. You get under it. You're good.
I don't know.
Because they've all stacked up in it many a time.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it was more fun. Honestly, it was more fun to see Ron in a bad beard.
Yeah.
Okay, so they go. And the goblins are suspicious immediately. But Harry uses, like, a charm and gets them in. And they get on a little cart. but it stops, like, on the way to the vault and dumps them out, and there's, like, an alarm going off. And they don't die because Hermione knows spells and nobody else does.
Once again, has this quick mind as she's falling to her death. It's like, let me do a spell for everybody.
And I'll think about everyone else. Yeah. Not just like, I'm going to save myself in this moment. I'm going to make sure everybody's okay. Gosh. And they get to the vault and it's being guarded by a dragon that is the saddest of all time. This poor abused animal is hanging out outside this vault. And they use these like little shaker things. They've like trained it to, when it hears the noise, it expects pain. And so that's how you, like, get past it. And that's messed up.
Yeah.
And they get into the vault. They discover another Horcrux. It's Helga Hufflepuff's cup. What a name. Helga Hufflepuff. Give me. And Harry retrieves the cup. But Griffhook snatches the sword from him and abandons them. And, like, whenever they touch anything in the vault, it has, like, a curse on it that makes it double. And it's kind of, it's very much Aladdin in the Cave of Wonders, where you touch something and everything starts to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, and so they're pretty much trapped. And security comes down also. And they realize, and so they use the Dragon Guardian to escape. And they pretty much just do that by setting it free and getting on its little back and letting it wild out.
Once again, Hermione's idea. She was like, I got a plan, but it's crazy. And they're like, okay. And she's jumps on that thing's back and sets them loose.
Yeah. I also don't know why they can't apparate. I guess there's like a block on magic.
Yeah. In that little spot. Yeah. It's the same thing with Hogwarts. Like, you can't like apparate into Hogwarts.
That makes sense.
Or out, I guess.
Smart. Good job. Okay, so cool. The Dragon Guardian helps them escape and it fucking fucks everything up. And at this point, the body count is already at like 15 people. They're like, there's so many people die in this sequence. Literally, like, every single troll dies, or what, a goblin dies in this sequence. And they just decide randomly to jump off of the dragon once they're over some water.
You know?
I don't
it's understand. Easier than the ground, I guess?
I guess, but also, nobody have a compass, nobody has a GPS. I don't know, I guess not. No, it's the past. Shit, just whatever, they're magic.
So yeah. I think at that point they're like, we'll just go to land and then apparate
somewhere. We're just gonna get out of here, yeah, we're just gonna hop off. They do that, and when he's in the water, Harry has a vision of Lord Voldemort at Gringotts, and he figures out that they have stolen the cup from Bellatrix's vault. And he's mad, and there are exclusive dead little goblins around him, including Griffhook, who had the sword. But the sword disappears when we see his body. Mm-hmm. Magic sword. Okay. So, also he realizes that there is a Horcrux at Hogwarts during this little vision, which is somehow connected to Rowena Ravenclaw. Because obviously, we figured out 2 people ago that these are all related to the houses of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Because he went there and made them.
Yeah, that's when he started. It was when he was at Hogwarts.
So yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does. But, okay. It's fine. These are children's books. I gotta remind myself.
Yeah, these are for, like, 12-year-old kids.
Yeah. There are lots of, you're learning about context clues at this point. So, like, that's why we keep getting facts. That's, it needs to be blatant. Okay. Cool. So, there you go, So they're like, okay, I guess we're gonna go back to fucking Hogwarts. Back at Gringotts, we see Voldemort and the Malfoys and all the little dead goblins. And then Harry, Ron, and Hermione apparate into Hogsmeade, and immediately an alarm goes off.
Which, I'm like, Did they just have something where it told them anytime someone apparated there or something like that?
Right? Yeah.
How did it immediately happen?
And they were like, Harry Potter! Harry Potter!
Yeah, what?
I was like, huh?
I don't know.
Did they have, like, his dandruff that they
they have hair or something.
Yeah, like... I don't know. I guess it's magic. That's the whole thing. It's magic as anything. So, sure. So, but they're saved by Aberforth Dumbledore.
Aberforth? Man, Albus and Aberforth?
Yeah, and then his sister's name is something simple, like Lucy or something like
that. Yeah, it's just like Anne or...
Yeah! Okay. but, yeah, so Aberforth Dumbledore rescues them, and there's some intense family resentment, we learn. And he blames Dumbledore for the death of their sister. But despite it, he reveals a secret passageway into Hogwarts from Hogsmeade. And they're led through by none other than Neville Longbottom! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Neville!
Also one of the tops of the whole thing.
I think he is my favorite.
He's an absolute king, honestly. He is. Bless his heart. And yeah, so they're led through the secret way by Neville. And they're all welcomed by their classmates when they get back into Hogwarts. And it's like, I guess it's just like the Dumbledore's army people, essentially, is who they meet up with. And they're, he tells them that they're looking for an object associated with Ravenclaw. And they're all like, more facts, please.
He's like, and I can't.
I have no idea. But of course, beautiful Luna Lovegood immediately is just like, oh, it's probably like Rowena Ravenclaw's last diadem. Which, when she said diadem, I thought she said item. This lost item. But a diadem is like a tiara. It's like another name for like a tiara.
Yeah. Which I didn't know before I like watched the movies and read the book and stuff. I was like, the fuck is a diadem? I thought she said diaphragm when she first said it. I was like, huh?
Good on you, Rowena.
I was like, at least she's being safe. Take power of your
sexuality. Do what you want to do. But Rowena's lost diaphragm. Yeah, then we could have got an opportunity to talk about sexual health. And,
and Luna's like, all right, everybody, gather around.
Let me tell you what's up. But no, it's a tiara type thing.
Ooh.
Cool. Then Severus Snape hears that Harry's returned. And he gathers all the students, which at this point all fit in, like, one small room, every student at Hogwarts. So I guess people haven't come back and stuff? I don't know.
Probably.
If parents were worried about their kids last year, you'd think they'd be 100%, like, no, this year.
Yeah.
But, like, Seamus or whatever in the last one got all bitchy with Harry about how his parents almost didn't let him come back in the last one. But it's like this one, they're like, nah.
Like, you can go back
for sure. Yeah, oh, the Dark Lord's back and he's definitely gonna go to Hogwarts and fuck some shit up. He's already been there and killed the headmaster.
Let him go. I don't want my kid for the rest of the year.
Wild.
Send him off.
But okay,
yeah, that's sure. Wild.
But anyway, so Snape gathers them all up and warns them that there will be a severe punishment for aiding Harry. And he's like, come forward if you have information. And of course, Harry just walks the fuck out. And it's like, what up, I'm here. None of this is necessary. We can skip forward. Skip the intro. I'm here. And also, the entire Order of the Phoenix shows up and tells everyone of how Snape murdered Dumbledore. And Snape pulls his wand on Harry, but McGonagall, also a goddamn queen. Yeah. Fucking immediately steps in and tears him the fuck up from the jump. No hesitation.
Yeah, it's just like blasts him out the window.
Immediately.
He didn't even put up like a fight.
No, he got scared as hell.
Yeah.
His little eyes started bugging out and he fucking busted out that window and ran away.
He did.
That's amazing.
Love McGonagall. She's,
yeah.
One of my faves.
Then Voldemort sends a message like through the PA system, but it's magic.
It's just like the PA system of the world.
Yeah.
It's just like, hello, world. It's, like, it's also so creepy because he like whispers. He's like, hello, everyone. Yeah. So uncomfortable.
Give me Harry Potter. Like, everyone's just like, gross.
Everyone who's like plugging their ears, I yeah. feel that. They're all like, ugh.
It's disgusting. Word. Okay. So, yeah. He says that, tells all the students to give up Harry, and they have an hour to do it before he comes and just kills everybody. Chill. And so a Slytherin immediately yells to get him.
That bitch.
Yeah, but like, also I was like, word? Like,
she was like, I don't want to die here. Who's this Harry Potter? I don't know. Get him, everybody.
Yeah, why would she? Yeah, she's like, this motherfucker. Yeah. Wasn't here for most of last year. I might be a freshman coming. Like, I don't know him. I don't care about him. He has no family. Like,
she's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, fuck this guy. Give him to him. But of course, immediately McGonagall sends all the Slytherins to the dungeon. Dude, I was shook by that. I went, fuck.
Yeah, it's like a little bit fucked up. She's like, just put them, just lock them up.
All of them. Send the Slytherins
to the dungeon.
Just... I was like, shit, dude. I know that all of them aren't bad.
Yeah, they're like bad people. Also, thinking about what happens later, like, they're probably the safest.
Yes. Like, they completely are the safest. Honestly, yeah. Yeah, why would you ever go in the dungeon to fuck people? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Well. Then she gathers the Hogwarts community for a battle. And at Luna Lovegood's insistence, Harry speaks to Helena Ravenclaw's ghost. We find out that she's chilling in the castle. And she reveals that Voldemort performed dark magic on her mother's diadem after he promised to not be bad.
He's like, I won't do anything I promise.
Yeah. And then he was bad.
Put a piece of his soul into
it. Yeah, word. So then Harry's like, yo, I'll for real destroy it, I promise. And it's like, maybe not making promises to this woman. She freaks the fuck out. She just screams at him. She scared me.
Yeah.
Ugh. But then she finally is like, ah, it's fine. It's in the room of requirement, of course. Because everything has been in the room of fucking requirement.
Why wouldn't it be there?
Why wouldn't that be the first place you go?
Then you go, yeah.
It's like, is something lost in the castle? You go there. That's literally the point of the room.
Yeah.
Whatever. But we needed that cool scene with this chick being scary. We needed a scary woman scene.
I don't even know why she told him. I don't, because she was like, the last thing she says is like, you like remind me of him.
Oh, or whatever. Right. Yeah.
And I was just like, why are you telling us? I guess.
Yeah.
I guess to give us like a clue maybe or something. Yeah.
If you haven't picked up on this, even though they've blatantly said that they are tied.
They're like, yeah, it's just. I don't know. I guess more clues for Harry because he's pretty dumb.
He is very thick. Yeah, he's not there for... Yeah, his grades aren't what's getting him by. Okay, so then Voldemort and his army arrive and begin attacking the castle. In the Chamber of Secrets, Ron and Hermione destroy the Horcrux cup with a basilisk fang because I guess nobody moved that big-ass snake body out of the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been, what, 6 years now?
Yeah. Just, like, its skeleton is just, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of makes sense, though, with Hogwarts. They just, like, let stuff happen.
Like, word, yeah. What else are they gonna do with it, you know? Yeah. I suppose. So, yeah. And once they destroy it, they make out.
That was just, I kind of forgot that happened in the movie, not gonna lie. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's make out.
Like, they just got splashed with, like, dirty ass, like, snake water. Oh,
disgusting dead body snake water.
Yeah, and then they were like, the first thing I want to do is kiss that other person's lips.
It's time to make out.
They were so, we're drenched.
That's disgusting.
Maybe they just looked at each other and they were both wet and they were like, ooh.
This is it.
Hot.
We have to make out now.
We killed a piece of Voldemort's soul and it's now time. We're wet. We gotta make out now.
There's been no opportunity before this point.
No, none at all.
Oh my god. This is so stupid.
It was really dumb.
But okay, so Voldemort feels his soul being fucking crushed. And he angrily casts a spell that dissolves the protection spell that they had cast around the castle. But when we see him do this, the Elder Wand begins to splinter, and we see him, like, wince in pain, like it's hurting him to, like, cast this intense spell. So we're like, ooh, what up there? Then we see Neville be a hero, and he blows up that long-ass dramatic bridge that they have all the fucking conversations on in every fucking movie. To, like, stop them from getting in for a minute. Literally a minute. And Harry gets to the Room of Requirement, where he quickly finds the diadem. Literally a moment. As soon as he's there, he's like, there it is.
Yeah, it's like fucking mountains and mountains of stuff. Like, when you go into, like, an antique shop, and it's like, I can't even, like, look, like, place an item. And he's just like, oh, I hear it's whispering to me.
Yeah, it's there just, it like, is. On top of this pile of chairs that we have to comically take down. They're all working on taking chairs.
Why is there a pile of chairs?
Yeah.
It's like, climb up on them.
Yeah, climb them. I was like, why are you taking them down? You need them.
Yeah, I don't know.
But okay. So yeah. But we see that he is being pursued by Draco Blaise Cabini. I had to look up his name because he is a new little black student that I've never seen before.
That wait, that's his name in the movie?
His name is Blaise Zabini.
Blaise Zabini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And he's not the character who's played by that actor from How to Get Away with Murder. Because that's the only black student I had ever seen at Hogwarts. It's that guy who has a line once every three movies. And it's just in the background.
Yeah.
And Gregory Goyle. So I know Goyle.
Goyle.
And they attack Harry. But Ron and Hermione intervene, and Goyle casts a fiend fire curse. It makes, like, this big old snake monster fire. And he can't control it at all. And he just fucking burns to death.
Yeah, that was... yeah. It was disturbing.
It goes 1 to 100,000 in a moment.
It was like they were just running around, chasing each other, and then he's like, everything's on fire, and he like fell into the pit of fire that he made himself.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, okay, cool, like, cool, cool, cool.
Fuck.
Yeah, so he burns to death, and Harry, fucking Ron, and Hermione find brooms.
They just happen upon some brooms.
Sure.
Enough brooms for the three of them.
For the three of them. And at Harry's insistence, they save Malfoy and Zabini. And then Harry stabs the diadem with the basilisk fang, and Ron kicks it into the inferno to be destroyed. So, Harry, seeing into Voldemort's mind at this moment, realizes that Voldemort's snake, Nagini? Is that how you say it?
Nagini, yeah.
Nagini is the final Horcrux. Well, so he thinks. The final Horcrux. And he sees that Voldemort is in the boathouse, and he has just ordered Snape to him. And so they're like, alright, that's where we gotta go. On their way to the boathouse, they see Lavender Brown dead on the ground being eaten by a werewolf.
That was also fucked up, and I felt unnecessary.
Yeah. And they do not react enough to it. I guess they're just like, nah, we see dead people all the time. Like,
but like yeah, Hermione's just like, and then, like, zaps the werewolf thing or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's like,
and then they're just like,
and they just get a close up on her dead ass face.
Yeah.
Like, cool, alright. Stakes are extremely fucking terrifyingly high. Cool.
It's just more, like, stuff for you to be like, this is a horrible time to be living in.
Yep. Luckily, though, Dumbledore's brother arrives and starts helping everybody. And then after they enter the boathouse, the three witness Voldemort telling Snape that the Elder Wand cannot serve Voldemort until Snape dies, because he is the one who, like, he thinks disarmed it, so he technically has ownership of it. And Snape's like, no, I don't have ownership of it. But Voldemort's like, nah, I decided that this is what happened and I'm going to kill you now. And so, yeah. He has Nagini kill him. And it's awful. It's very smart the way they did it. of, like, we see the shadow of Snape's body against the window and the snake, like, attacking over and over. That's how you get around that rating system.
This part was, like, probably one of the most disturbing parts to me. Is like, first of all, he slices his throat. Word. So, like, he would have already bled out, but yes. Voldemort is a psychopath, so he was like, Nagini, like, kill him. Like, he's already gonna die, but just, like...
Make it painful.
Yeah. Make him suffer.
Yeah.
And also, I fucking hate snakes.
Oh, right.
Like, the... That... it just, like, gives me chills. It's so disgusting. Because he's, like, hitting up against the door.
Yeah.
So you hear, like, the door, like, rattling. Yeah. And, like, you just know that she's just, like...
Yeah.
Biting him over and over again.
So hard, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm very really sorry. Just...
It's okay. Just driving it home.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Oh, gosh. So, and then Voldemort just, like, leaves.
Okay, that's enough.
They go into the boathouse and see that Snape is not completely dead yet, but dying. Snape starts to cry, and he tells Harry to take his tears to the Pensieve. And I don't understand how that works, because anytime we've seen the Pensieve used, it's Voldemort specifically, or not Voldemort, Dumbledore specifically, like, taking a memory out of its head and putting it into the water. Like, the weird little wispy things.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, why would his tears... But I guess
they never explained that, because, like, they explain that in the books, I'm pretty sure. That, like, your tears... Like, you collect someone's tears to, like, have their memories.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
No. It's just implied, I guess.
I guess you, like, they're just like, oh, they'll get it later once.
Yeah, I, like... Yeah, I...
But yeah, if you didn't know, you'd be like, why does he need his tears?
That's weird. It was very weird. But he also tells him that he has his mother's eyes. And then he dies.
Which he doesn't.
Correct, he does not.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's fine.
It was a nice moment.
Fine. Voldemort then does his loudspeaker voice thing again. And he tells his troops to retreat. And Harry to meet him in the Forbidden Forest. Which I think is a very weird tactic. But I guess it's like, he's losing people also. So it's like, better to just like, whatever. And the impact of like, them having to deal with all these dead people is even more impactful against like, Harry being around to those people maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, the three return to the castle. And this is where we see... Fred Weasley, Remus Lupin, and Tonks have all been killed. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's also deeply shocking. Fred, not so much, because, well, he wasn't, like, a super-powered wizard.
Right, yeah.
And he got fucked the fuck up. Was it him that got fucked the fuck up in the last one, or was that George? Whose arms got, like, ripped, obliterated, or whatever, when they were flying to, like, get Harry to, whatever.
I don't know, I could never tell, like, between them.
Yeah, I know.
Unless they said, like, their name, was like, this happened to Fred, or whatever. But yeah, with, like, Tonks and Remus, it's, like, they're, like, extremely powerful wizards.
Yes. That have, like, faced off directly with Voldemort at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, one of his lackeys was able to kill him.
Yeah. The only one that's, like, really powerful is, like, Bellatrix, but I don't know if that she killed
him. I don't even know that she was, like, wilding out in there with him. I thought she was still with him. Yeah, because he was still with him
in the snake. Yeah, because she's waiting with him in the forest, with Voldemort in the forest.
Uh-huh.
So I don't even know if she was there. But whatever, I guess, you know, sacrifice has to be made, and it's got to be, like, sad.
You have to care. You have the stakes, like, have to be high. Kill
characters that you like.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Unnecessary bullshit. So, yeah. Harry goes to Dumbledore's office, and the Pensieve shows Snape's memories to Harry. And Snape despised Harry's father, James, who bullied him. Which is fucking fair. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Potter was a big old bitch.
Yeah. He sucked. And he loved Lily. And following her death, Snape worked with Dumbledore to protect Harry from Voldemort because he loved Lily. And Harry also learns that Dumbledore was dying of, like, a fucking curse and wished for Snape to kill him. And the Patronus Doe he saw in the woods that led him to the sword was conjured by Snape. And that it was Lily's Patronus as well.
Yeah, the same Patronus.
And the big kicker is that Harry learns that he himself became a Horcrux when Voldemort originally failed to kill him. So he must die to destroy the piece of Voldemort's soul within himself.
Damn, that's tough to learn, you know?
Yeah. And Snape, yeah, and Snape and, like, the thing is, like, you're just, like, you're just waiting for him to die at the right time. Like, you're not really actually protecting him. It's
a pig to slaughter.
Yeah.
Fatten him up. Yeah, we learned that, like, Dumbledore sucks really hard.
Yes.
Like, he's not a good person, and, like, Harry and all the other kids, like, love him so much and stuff. Yeah. And it's just, like, I don't know. Yeah, he had, like, a lot of, like, tough decisions to make, I suppose, but...
Yeah, at this point he's become more of, like, an anti-hero. Which, like, yeah, like, people are... Nobody gets to be as dynamic a character as Dumbledore in this whole thing, and that pisses me off. And then that seems to be continued into the fucking Fantastic Beasts bullshit. I don't know. And it's, like, lame. Lame!
Yeah. And it's also frustrating, too, that, like, they didn't... I feel like they could have explained things to Harry. Like, the stuff with Snape does kind of bother me. I guess just because they wanted to keep him in the dark to, like, keep him safe, kind of.
Yeah.
But, like, y'all could have just explained some things to him.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't have made a bunch of dumbass decisions. Correct. And, like, put himself in danger, like, constantly.
Yes. Yeah.
But... I guess I understand, like, not telling him about the soul, part of Voldemort's soul being in him, because then
that adds up.
He's gonna know I have to die eventually.
Like, I feel like he probably just would have killed himself.
Yeah.
And then, what?
I guess, you know.
I don't know.
That would have been fine.
Exactly, I know, that's horrible.
It does, yeah, it is horrible, but, like,
and
I guess,
and it's like, they couldn't figure out another way, like... Yeah, a way to kill him and resurrect it, like...
Yeah. Yeah, there's no... They never say, like, we were trying to do this and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to figure it out.
A way to... Yeah.
This is what has to happen.
Because he talks about the phoenix so fucking much to him.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Dumbledore's phoenix and stuff. So it's like, well, we know the magic is there.
Yeah.
So, what? Whatever.
Can't be done.
Can't be done. All right, cool. So, Harry leaves and says goodbye to Ron and Hermione. And while entering the forest, the resurrection stone reveals itself inside of the golden snitch that Dumbledore gave him. And he uses the resurrection stone to see his deceased loved ones, who comfort him and strengthen his courage before he meets Voldemort. I thought that was a nice moment.
Yeah.
He also didn't need the Resurrection Stone, right? How did they show up in Goblet of Fire?
Yeah, they was gonna say they showed up before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they were like, his mom was like, yeah, we've always been here. It's like, well, we know, because we saw you before.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. And also, there are ghosts actively in Hogwarts all the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then he, like, makes a show of, like, dropping it on the ground and shit. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, was the Resurrection Stone, did that have anything to do with, like, him, like, surviving?
Yeah, because they say that all three make you, like, the most powerful wizard or whatever.
Yeah. So, like...
But he dropped the Resurrection Stone and he didn't have the cloak with him.
Yeah. But, like, did he... Well... He technically possessed all of them.
That's true. They all belong to him.
They all belong to him because he was given, like, the cloak and stuff, and he was given the stone.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if there's, like, spoilers in this. I don't want to, like, say it. Because he has, like, the wand belongs to him, like, we find out later.
Right, where you find out literally in a moment. Yeah, then the wand belongs to him, too.
And so I guess that's how he did it.
I guess so. That's how he survives. Yeah. That's how you cheat death, I guess, right? Properly.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so then when Voldemort thinks that Harry's not going to show up, of course he arrives. And he says, "The boy who lived, come to die," which is a dope line.
That's a pretty dope line.
Immediately casts the killing curse upon Harry, which is still so fucking bonkers to me that there is, you can just say Avada Kedavra, and that is a murder.
Yeah, it is pretty wild.
That doesn't make any damn sense to me. There's no like special like weird hand movements you gotta do.
Nope.
Nothing.
So easy.
Extra. Yeah, what the fuck? Because, like, unless you're holding a wand, you can't say it, right? Like, if you're holding a wand, you're going to just kill somebody if you say it out loud.
Yeah.
But if you're not, I guess that's how you let people know, like,
I guess you, like, have to point your wand at them, so
I don't that know. That is way too high stakes.
Yeah, it is. Also, I love how he says it. He's like, "Abracadabra!"
Yeah, right. Like,
makes a big show out of it.
And it literally rhymes with abracadabra.
I know. I always like, yeah.
This is so stupid. Oh, man. Okay, great. So, he immediately does the killing curse on Harry. And there is all white. And we see Harry at a train station looking place. We find out it's like limbo. And there's a bloody fetus of Voldemort on the ground.
Oh, it's so disturbing.
It is the wildest choice. It is the wildest, nasty choice. This bloody little Voldemort
it's
fetus.
It's not even like, it's like his hands and his feet are like, not like small. They're not like normal size, but they're like too big for the body.
Yeah.
And like, it just looks folded so up. Messed up.
Well, I guess it just, like, it mimics the imagery of, like, the first time we see Voldemort when he gets dunked into the, like, the little cauldron or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, a little, just a little baby.
Yeah,
thing.
That little, yeah. That he had to get bitten. Yeah. Back to that form or whatever. Yeah. And Dumbledore's spirit meets him and explains that Harry is free of Voldemort and he can choose to move on if he wants to. And we're like, okay.
Fucking sounds nice. You die and you just choose whether or not you want to actually die.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Soul yet?
Word. But I guess, yeah, knowing that he possesses everything, it's his choice that I guess he has now that power.
Yeah.
So back in the forest, Voldemort sends Draco's mother over to Harry's body to confirm that he's dead. And she immediately sees that he is not. And just whispers to him. And asks if Draco is still alive. And he nods his head. And she gets up and says that Harry's dead.
I like how it's like, why is she the only person who confirmed that he was dead?
Word.
Like, kind of dumb.
Yeah, they're like, good, okay.
Yeah. Makes sense, since Harry saved Draco's life, like...
Correct. Yeah. That it had to be for something.
Yeah.
Because only white boy lives matter in this.
Yeah.
Their deaths would be for something. But everybody else can just fucking die left and right.
Yeah. But
God. Then Hagrid carries his body back to Hogwarts. God. Hagrid. I guess Hagrid knew he was still alive, right, at this point?
I don't know.
How could he not?
I guess he would, like, feel, you know, him breathing, probably.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Just gotta fake being sad.
Yeah. So Hagrid carries his body back to Hogwarts where Voldemort announces Harry's death and demands that everyone surrender. And Draco's parents tell him to come to them.
Such an awkward moment.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, come here.
Yeah.
Draco, come here.
God. Yeah, Lucius looks like a beaten up puppy. It's awful. That actor did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
He really deserves some, like, award. His transformation, he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And, so Malfoy goes over to them, and Voldemort gives him the weirdest side hug. Draco's weird little side hug thing is really uncomfortable.
It is really awkward.
And then Neville Longbottom hobbles forward. And after the Death Eaters all laugh at him and his goofiness, he gives a moving speech about how it doesn't matter that Harry died. And that they must continue. Especially since literally everyone he loves has died, pretty much, in his life himself. Like, yeah. Harry, they're like, Neville lost his parents when he was little.
Yeah.
His grandmother fucking died while he was at Hogwarts. He took care of him.
Yeah.
And they, like, pass that off as, like, a joke, like, in, like, Trelawney's class or whatever. She was all like, oh, your grandmother's really sick. And he's like, no. She's like, ooh.
Yikes.
So it's like, yeah, there's this, like, really great, like, juxtaposed character mm-hmm. to Harry of this, like,
yeah.
also given a horrible lot in life, but, like, mm-hmm. this sweet,
mm-hmm.
like, isn't exceptional because he's not the boy who lived, but is a boy who lived, like, still is a boy who lived, like.
That's why I love Neville so much.
That's the right.
He went through, like, the same shit as Harry.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't suck.
It doesn't fucking suck.
Yeah, and it, like, it could have been him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it.
Yeah.
So.
And that does make the moment really beautiful of, like, him being like, obviously, you guys, like, well, this isn't about him. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's my friend, but, like, no, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
This is about more. Like, yeah. And so that's really sweet. And he says that they have to continue. And he draws the sword of Gryffindor from the sorting hat. Because Dumbledore tells Harry or whatever when he's in limbo that those who ask for help will receive it at Hogwarts, but the reality is those who deserve help will receive it. And the sword of Gryffindor only shows up for, like, the most brave and whoever needs it in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's Neville becomes its, like, ultimate wielder. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck yeah! It's all been for Neville!
He deserves it. He's the bravest.
He is! So, and then, of course, Harry reveals that he's still alive. And the Malfoys and many Death Eaters immediately, as soon as Harry, like, fucking rolls out of Hagrid's arms, are like, nope.
They fucking bounce.
Yeah. Which I guess, that stirs their confidence. That's like, this motherfucker really can't kill this child.
Yeah. They're like, this bitch, I'm done with Voldemort. Yeah. Like, God.
Yikes. And so the Malfoys and a lot of Death Eaters abandon Voldemort. And while Harry and Voldemort start dueling all over the fucking Hogwarts. It's every location possible. Because I guess they had some money left over and they were like, nah, let's just make it part of the duels. Give it all the props and scenery departments. Fuck this shit up. Hermione. What happens with Hermione?
So this is the part that, like, annoys me a little bit about the movies. Because, like, I think they did all that, like, dueling and stuff just to, like, add whatever to the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ron and Hermione are trying to kill Nagini, and they're, like, being like, chased by her and stuff. Yeah. But, like, in the book, when Neville, like, pulls the sword out of the sorting hat, he just cuts off Nagini's head, like, immediately.
Oh, right away?
Yeah. He just goes, like, one fell swoop.
That would make sense.
And also, like, they put, I think because Neville started talking and made that big speech, Voldemort put, like, a spell on him, like, a binding spell or whatever, so he, like, couldn't move and he couldn't talk. So, like, by sheer, like, force of will, he, like, breaks out of the curse.
He's more powerful.
He breaks out of the curse, takes the sword out of the hat, and cuts off his head. And they fucking didn't put that in the movie.
That's so lame.
I know, and they have this lame-ass duel with each other.
Yeah, they both suck. That's what we learned from the duels, that they both aren't that great.
Yeah, it was like,
they both can't fucking do
it. And they just, like, added all this stuff, I guess, just to make it more dramatic, because, which, I don't know, that doesn't really make sense, because that moment was extremely dramatic.
It was already, we were already at peak.
Yeah. But I guess, I don't know, they just added all of that.
Well, that makes me more disappointed. I did really enjoy Molly Weasley killing Bellatrix, though, in the Great Hall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That actually happens in the book, I'm pretty sure.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
that feels real good.
Dope-ass woman.
Yeah.
Yay. And then, so, yeah, then we see Neville decapitate Nagini, making Voldemort mortal. And then Harry and Voldemort's fight ends with Voldemort's own killing curse rebounding and obliterating him. And we see after the battle, Harry explains to Ron and Hermione that the Elder Wand recognized him, Harry, as its true master after he disarmed Draco, which is why it didn't work. His curse backfired on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Because Draco ultimately was the one who had disarmed Dumbledore in the town, and not Snape.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of claiming the Elder Wand for himself, Harry snaps it in half, which is insane. I literally watched him snap it in half, and I was like, that should be impossible. Why is it so easy to break in half?
He just breaks it in half.
What?
I guess because he's its owner, so he can just do that.
Just snap it in half? Yeah, why are wands so easy to fucking break? That doesn't make sense. They're magical objects.
I don't know. Yeah.
Made of, like, dragon tails and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, like, walnut with a unicorn hair in it or whatever. Like,
and they're, like, sentient things? Like,
yeah, it's weird, yeah. How they're just, like...
Very,
I don't know. You'd think they would just be like, no.
Yeah. They'd have, like, their own little, like, force field on there or whatever.
He just uses, like, his little hands. He doesn't even use, like, his knee or anything.
No,
he
just... Yeah, especially... I couldn't even bring a stick that was that thick in my hands normally.
No.
Sure.
He couldn't do it. His spindly little arms.
Yeah, he's not strong.
He's so small.
Yeah. And he's, like, literally just came back from death.
Yeah. Literally. And they haven't eaten in, like, God knows how long.
You're right.
I don't understand that about these, like, yeah, movies. They just
never,
like,
eat.
When do you guys eat?
No.
And drink water. You couldn't fight like this if you've never drank water.
Correct, yeah. They,
like,
all should
days.
Be passed out on the ground. Ugh. But okay, yeah. Then they all hold hands. And it fades into a screen that says 19 years later. And we see King's Cross Station, and Harry and Jenny and Ron and Hermione proudly watch their children leave for Hogwarts at King's Cross Station.
So cute.
Yeah. But also, like, there's this added that he, like, talks to his son, and he's like, his son's all like, what if I get sorted into fucking Slytherin? And he's like, one of the bravest men I ever knew was a Slytherin. And I'm like, then why did y'all lock all of them up?
Fuck Slytherin. Lock him in the dungeon.
For real.
It is messed up. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry, his son's name is dumb. Albus Severus.
Oh, right.
Potter.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
What do they call him? Al?
Ew.
Yeah, right.
That sucks. Albie.
Albie.
Hey, Albie.
That's kind of fun. That's kind of cute. If you were, like, a kid, that'd be cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that he ever, like, calls him by his name besides that moment where he
says his full
name. Says
his
full name.
Yeah. Whatever, it's dumb.
Yeah.
And everybody stayed with their high school relationship.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
No, what?
Oh my god, there was like one part where, like, when they're looking, it's Ron and Hermione and they're looking for Harry with, like, the Marauder's map, and she, like, sees Harry Potter's name for, like, a second, and she's like, it's gone, where'd it go? And Ron is like, oh, he's in the, like, room of requirement. I remember you told me that last year or whatever, and she's like, oh my god.
She's so impressed.
Yeah, she's like,
you listened
holy
to me
shit.
One time?
You heard one thing that I said one time.
Oh my god.
And
yeah,
I'm like, bitch,
that was really
you
stupid.
Need better standards.
Yeah, yeah, it's
so
really
sad.
Stupid. Yeah. Yeah, what? It is really bad. Yeah, whatever happened to Crumb? I'm like, nah, that dude was lit. Go hang out with him.
Yeah.
Go, is there. There. What?
Where does he live? Like,
I don't
Russia
remember,
or
Viking
something.
World.
Like, yeah, like.
But he was already on, like, big ass Quidditch team and, like, doing
successful.
It
yeah.
Or it's like, go experience anybody.
Yeah.
At all that isn't Ron.
Yeah.
And just Harry, you met four people.
Yeah, you know four men.
And also, did she, like, go... How did she reverse the curse on her parents or whatever that, like, took her away from their memory?
I don't know.
Is she ever going to be with her family again?
Yeah, because she just did it, like, so that they wouldn't be in danger from Voldemort, right?
Yeah, like, they wouldn't know her, but that doesn't make any sense. Because he would still know that they were her parents. Even if they didn't know that they were her parents. It didn't make sense.
It doesn't really... I guess just maybe so that, like, if she died or something...
That they wouldn't care.
They wouldn't be sad. That's a good question. I don't know if she did that or not. I don't remember that from the book. I don't remember her doing that.
Damn.
And she was just like, oh, can't undo it.
That's... Yeah, her stakes are so much higher.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Fuck this movie. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, that's the end of it. The series is over. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 96%.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that insane? That's surprising. So high.
That is really high.
Letterboxd, it has a 3.9 out of 5 stars, which I think is more apt.
Yeah.
I think I'm on board with that. To be fair, that the 96% is like the critics... The audience score was 89, so it was less, but still. And I think a lot of it...
The critics rated it higher?
Huh?
The critics rated it higher?
The critics rated it higher than the audience did.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess maybe because a lot of the audience was, like, people who had read the books and stuff. Yeah. So they're probably like, no.
Yeah. No, this isn't what it says.
Yeah.
But, like, I get it. I think it's a really great conclusion. It's definitely, like, the best of a series of movies we've probably had to this point. It's the best of, that we hadn't had that many that were that long that we're able to, like, whatever. Do you relate to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 or the Harry Potter series? Big question.
That is a big question, and they've gone through a lot of shit.
Yes.
So there's some really intense things going on. I don't know that I do relate to really anything. I don't know. I think I like the overall message of Harry Potter and just like, you know, making sacrifices for your friends or like people that you love and stuff. And I don't know. I think that's a good message. I think that's a good thing. Or it can be.
Yeah.
They make some pretty intense, scary sacrifices, like literal death and like
word.
Separating yourself from your family on purpose.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there can be some good things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can make good sacrifices.
Yeah.
For people that you love.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good message.
I agree.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who really loves Harry Potter, I really like those people. So I like that, it provided something for so many people that I think are really wonderful people. It doesn't do the same for me at all.
Yeah.
But, I appreciate... And it also gave, like, this... It is a magical world where anything is possible, and you aren't judged on, like, who you love or anything like that. So, I understand how it resonates so well with, like, the queer community or outcasts and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
which is especially why JK is the worst.
So shitty.
But it's senseless that she doesn't see like how relatable and how like inherently like open-minded the world she brought to light is in herself, but it does add up when you think about the senseless bullshit she did in the books. So
yeah,
it's like, oh, of course this bitch is senseless.
It's so weird. It would have been so easy for her not, because like And, like, the whole idea of, like, muggles and stuff. Like, how you were talking about how it's, like, literally, like, a derogatory term.
Oh, it's gross.
And shit. And, like, yeah, like, just, like, the fucked up stuff that they think about muggles or whatever. Yeah. It's, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's, like, you can relate that to this world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people being other, quote.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely didn't relate with this one pretty much at all. But I thought it was entertaining, and I had a nice time. I had a better time than I did with part one, which seemed only exclusively possible with how much I hated part one. But there was a lot more background diversity in this one. We had, like, 4 people of color in the background. And only 2 of which had about 5 word lines each. So that was
perfect.
Lit.
Yeah.
And at this point it is 2011.
Yeah, it's not really like an excuse for that.
No.
It's 2011.
No. Yeah, no. We've had the Will Smith heyday. We've had the Eddie Murphy's golden age. We've had In Living Color. We've had,
there's been tons of stuff.
Yeah.
I also, have you heard I can't remember where, or like when JK said this, but like at one point she was like, oh yeah, I imagine Hermione is like a black girl.
Right.
And we're like, then why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you ask them to cast advocate a black person? Advocate for that.
Yeah.
Like, she does all this stuff. Like, she's, like, later. She backpedals. Dumbledore is gay.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, made stuff up, like, later.
Yeah, to
like,
be bitch, more you never... woke.
Yeah, you didn't think about that at all.
No, 1,000,000%. Which also, like, I understand when she was writing, it wasn't part of her world. Like, the way people look in the movie, I imagine she saw them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, because... Yeah, that's her world.
Yeah, that's a good example as to why we need like people who write and make media that's like a diverse person making it.
Yeah,
because then they'll reflect their world in it.
Yes,
which will reflect our actual world instead of J.K. Rowling just only knowing white people apparently.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
Gross, she sucks.
I'll say a good thing about I did actually really like there's some weird shit with like in part one with like Harry and Hermione when like Ron is like you guys are like together or whatever, uh-huh. You know? But like they do a good job, I think, of like Harry and Hermione are like really close friends and like you can do that.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you're both, like, heterosexual, you can still be friends with someone who's the opposite gender of you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, they're really close. And a lot of times, like, Hermione gets what's happening in Harry's brain more than, like, Ron does.
Right.
And I do like that.
Yeah, that is that's good. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cho Chang.
Oh, my God. 2 last names.
Cho Chang.
Cho Chang.
That's so fucked up.
So easy to have not done that.
Yeah, like, it's exclusively easy to have not done that. Great. Oh, made it. Made it somehow through it. I don't wanna... I own them now. I own all 8 on Blu-ray. And they're fun.
Yeah.
I don't wanna do this again. I don't think I'm gonna watch them in this succession this quickly again.
Yeah.
It's definitely overwhelming, and I couldn't imagine doing it all within, like, 24 hours. That's bonkers.
It was quite the time.
But, yeah, I've... Alright, 2020, fuck it, it's over. This comes out on the last day of the year.
Bye, 2020.
So if you're listening to this on the last day of the year, I hope your 2021 is better. I hope the trauma and terror you experienced in 2020, you are able to come to healthy terms with and get to a better place, whatever means necessary. And yeah. Would you like to say goodbye, Sarah, before I sign off?
Yes, thank you for having me on the cast. It was a good time. I like talking about movies. Weird. It's fun. Yeah. Hope everyone, yeah, I hope that it would be ideal if the government could give us, like, some free therapy. That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. We all deserve that.
Yeah.
By the way, this is literal trauma. Everyone in the world has experienced trauma.
Yeah, this is a pandemic is
that.
Yep.
So, give yourself a break.
For real, give yourself some grace.
It's okay. Like, literally, I know everyone says that, but, like, literally, if you survive the pandemic, then, like, that is something. That's all that you have to do this year.
Yeah, just to exist.
Yeah.
It is a revolution to exist in these times.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've brought so much joy with your podcast.
Well, that's very sweet.
For people listening.
You've definitely brought so much joy personally to me throughout all these times. But definitely, I know, to a lot of the world.
Yeah. For sure.
All right, sweet. Well, I have been your friendly neighborhood fat friend this year. Thank you for joining me on my new endeavor in 2020. This is a bright spot, definitely. Making this podcast has been a bright spot for me, even when it was a pain in the fucking ass. It still has been really wonderful to bond with people and to meet so many strangers and get to do new things, even in these wild times. And I will leave you with, I would sit on my ass for 58 hours and 42 minutes for your love any day, because that is what I did. I did the math. That is how much time I devoted to movies for this podcast during 2020.
Wow.
Which is too fucking long. That's weeks. That's several weeks. So yeah, I love you. Be good to each other. And I'll see you in 2021. Okay, bye!
Bye.